Tonight, we have a very special guest with us, and God is going to do something mighty, I know, among us. I thank God for his word. Are you thankful for the word tonight? The word always works. You don't ever have to schedule an appointment. The word always works when the word is here. And the word is here tonight in a dear friend of ours that we just got to know. I've admired her from a distance, Marsha, and I have for several years now. And she also went to Rhema Bible Training Center like Marsha did. But I got to know her better this year at the retreat we go to every year. And I got to hear her speak. And I said, there is no way she can get off the hook without coming to victory. And y'all hearing the word on the inside of this mighty anointed woman of God, it gives me great pleasure and privilege to introduce to you tonight for the first time at Victory, but she's no stranger to God and no stranger to his word, so she'll be right at home here, Dr. Marilyn Neubauer. Would you help me make her welcome tonight?
Thank you so much for being with us. It's an honor.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are our teacher, that you are our guide. So, Lord, we open our hearts, our ears, to receive all that you have for us. And, Lord, help us tonight if there's something that we didn't see before, that you would help us to see it tonight. If there's something that we didn't hear the time before, help us to hear tonight. And Father, we truly give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, it's an honor to be here. I want to thank Pastor Josh and Marsha for having me come. And you have a beautiful church, a beautiful area where you live. Amen. And I'm so excited to know that you guys are really on fire for God in this place. Amen. Just to mention a couple things, I do have a table over here. I don't like to call it a product table. I like to call it a tool table. Because, you know, a carpenter uses tools to build a house. So we need tools to build our faith. Amen. So there's a tool table over there. I have a little packet there. It's filled with healing scriptures. It's user-friendly because you can keep it in your pocket, put it in your purse. But there's some prayers in the back also. Another thing that we have is a little shower card. This is designed to go in the bathroom. Bathroom shower card. There's scriptures on both sides for health and wealth. And I chose those two topics because that's the area where the devil attacks you the most to keep you from doing kingdom business. Amen. So just to mention just a couple of those things. And also, I'm going to be speaking a lot tonight about healing. And this is a little book on instructions from the great physician, and that God's word is medicine to our flesh. And you know one thing about God's medicine? It has no negative side effects. Isn't that encouraging? Hallelujah. No negative side effects. Well, I'm titled my message tonight, How Can I Say I'm Healed When My Body Says I'm Sick? Because, you know, your body speaks really, really loud to you. But the answer is very simple. It is written in Isaiah 53:5 that by his stripes you are healed. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. So if the Bible says you are and you were, then honey, you is. Amen? You is healed. So you need to see yourself as the word of God says you are. Because we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Do you know what that means? It means that we walk by truth, not the facts. Faith is of the heart. So we have to live from the inside out. Faith is the eye that sees the invisible. The eye of faith sees first what the natural eye does not yet see. Because we are a spirit being, so therefore we have to live and walk according to the Spirit. Amen. You know, I never speak against doctors. I don't speak against medicine because God uses doctors and he uses medicine. Amen. But you know, in Luke 18:27, it says, the things which are impossible with men, or you could say with the doctor, is still possible with God. So that means there's nothing impossible with God. There's no hopeless situation with God. All things are possible with him. Doctors treat, but Jesus is the healer. Isn't that encouraging? Jesus is the healer. You know, I was miraculously healed when I was 28 years old. I had cancer of the appendix. It's a very rare kind of cancer. I was told that I was approximately the eighth person in the entire United States to have that kind of cancer. And I knew nothing about healing at that time. I'd been in church all my life, and I'd been born again as a young child, and I just knew that God loved me, and I knew that God was a good God, but I knew nothing about healing. And I'd been sick about 4 or 5 months, and the doctor said, Marilyn, we don't know what's wrong with you, but you're going downhill so fast, so we're going to put you back in the hospital, and this time we're going to do exploratory surgery, and maybe we'll find the problem. I was admitted into the hospital, and the nurse came in to prepare me for surgery, and because they didn't know what was wrong, they gave me a wrong procedure. And that procedure put pressure on my appendix and caused them to begin to rupture. I felt very sick, very nauseated. I managed to get out of my bed and go into the restroom. And when I got in there, I saw something that grabbed my attention. A little red button on the side of the wall. It said, emergency button. And I went to touch that button. And God, in all of his love and all of his goodness, intervened in my life. My finger bounced away from that button. I made a second attempt to hit the button. A second time, my finger bounced away. And I thought, I need to hit the button. And I reached out a third time with my whole hand, and I could actually feel that there was a wall, an invisible wall, between my hand and that button. I could feel it, but I couldn't see it. And I thought, what is that? And as soon as I had that thought, I heard the Lord God Almighty speak to me as audibly as you're hearing me right now. And he spoke 3 times. The first thing he said was, your time is up. Under your condition, you are destined to die. Now, that's a strong report when you're only 28 years old and have 2 little babies at home. And then the Lord spoke the second time, and he says, your life has been removed from the hands of mankind. Your condition is now beyond the help of the medical profession. And then he spoke a third time, and it was the most beautiful of all. But he began to quote from the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, through me, you can change your destiny. You don't have to die. And I said, God, I don't know one thing about healing, but I do know that you love me. And if you're telling me that you have a healing for me, I take it. I wasn't sure what to expect to happen, but it just seemed that my pain magnified. And fear wanted to grip me, but somehow I knew, don't give place to fear. And I grabbed my stomach with my left hand, and I reached out with my right hand to hold on to the support bar that's on the side of the wall in the hospital bathroom. And at that moment, Isaiah 41:13 came alive. For I, the Lord your God, will take hold of your right hand. Fear not, I will help you. And I literally felt Jesus take hold of my right hand. And I had an instant miracle. I had an out-of-the-body experience. And at that moment, the Lord began to teach me about healing. And I don't know how long I was in that state, but when he finished teaching me, Jesus let go of my hand, and I was instantly back in my body. And all I wanted to do was go back to my bed and worship the Lord. The nurse came in and took me down to the operating room. The next thing I knew, I'm back in recovery. The doctor came in and said, Marilyn, something must have happened to you before the operation, because during surgery, I found cancer, but the cancer was not attached to you. It was not attached to anything. I saw it. I just picked it up and took it out. I didn't have to cut anything. Therefore, you don't need chemotherapy. You don't need any radiation. He said, something must have happened to you. And later, when I was all alone in my room, I heard the Lord speak to me one more time, and he said, Marilyn, when I was holding your hand, I was also holding back your appendix from rupturing, so the doctor could go in and remove the cancer in its entirety, because I wanted you to know exactly what I did for you. God is good. Amen. And he's not a respecter of persons. I'm going to ask 3 gentlemen, maybe you and a couple of you guys right here, to hold some visual aids for me. Thanks for volunteering. Amen. How many like to have fun in church? Oh, of course. I'll have all 3 of you just stand right over here. I'm going to let you hold this, and you hold the other half. Got to share. And you can hold this. Now, when I had this out-of-the-body experience, I actually saw into the spirit realm, and I saw my spirit. Can you hold it up higher so they all can see over there? Don't the guys look nice? You know that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Amen. The spirit is the real you. That's the part of you that is born again. That's the part of you that worships the Lord in spirit and in truth. But your mind is the part of you that has to be renewed to the Word of God every single day. And your spirit and your soul live in a body. It's called like a house. Now, not everybody will have an out-of-the-body experience, but every one of you live in a house somewhere. It could be a single-story house, two-story house, but you're not in that house right now. So we could say that you are having an out-of-the-house experience. And you don't know what's happening in your house because you're not there. You don't know if the light bulb just went out or the cat jumped on the table. You don't know that because you're not there. Well, you, this is you. You live in this house 24/7. Every time something happens to this house, you know it. Just like your natural house. When you go home, if you were asleep, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, and you woke up because you smelled smoke and it was really hot in the house, you would feel the effects of that fire because you're in the house. Well, once again, you, this is you, you're in this house 24/7. Every time something happens to that house, you know it. If it's burning up with a fever, or if it's in pain because of a disease, because it has an outside and an inside. Amen. So you will know it because you are a spirit being and you live in there. We on the same page?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to call you a gentleman back, and I'm going to promote you because you were such good volunteers. I'll call you back in a little bit. So because you are a spirit being, we must be spirit-minded. Now look at Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, 5 and 6, it says, those who live according to the flesh, or we could say the facts, have their minds set on the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, they have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Now listen, the natural mind governed by the flesh is death. That word death means to live a defeated life. You can be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, but live a defeated life. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you're always letting your life be governed by the facts instead of the truth. But it says the mind governed by the Spirit is life, peace, healing, wholeness, victory, prosperity, whatever you need. It's going to come because you are spiritually minded. It's so important that you be spiritually minded. In Proverbs chapter 4, God gives us his instructions on how to take the medicine. He said, give attention to my words. I like to say it like this. Give attention to my report. Because when you go to a doctor, you get a doctor's report. When you come to the Lord's word, you get the Lord's report. So he says, pay attention to my report. Incline your ear to my report. Don't let my report depart from your eyes, but keep it in the middle of your heart. Because my report is life to those that find them, and health, one translation says, medicine to all your flesh. The word is medicine, not kind of like it, not sort of like it, it is. And then in the next verse it says, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What are you supposed to guard your heart against? The facts. Because facts will breed fear, and fear is the enemy of your faith. Amen? So you need to guard your heart against the facts. When you come into agreement with the Word of God, you've come into agreement with the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit lives where? On the inside of us. So we could say the anointing lives within us because the Holy Spirit represents the anointing of God. Or we could say the power of God lives on the inside of us. So you've got to come into agreement with that power. You know, in Romans 8:11, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. You know, we hear so much about, let me say this first of all. You know, we have the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father and God the Son live in heaven, beautiful place. Two-thirds of the Holy Trinity are in heaven. The other third of the Holy Trinity is inside of you and me. Beyond awesome that God has imparted 1/3 of himself to actually live inside of you and me. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome, awesome. You know, we hear a lot about bombs, and we know bombs are very powerful and they're very destructive. And they not only destroy their target, but they destroy everything else around the target. But do you know a bomb never has and never will be powerful enough to reach the pit of hell? It's never going to happen. But the same spirit that lives inside of you and me already reached the pit of hell and raised Christ from the dead. That's the power that lives on the inside of you and me. Glory to God. And that power has the ability to zero in on a malignant tumor and destroy all those cancer cells and never harm any healthy tissue around it. And that's the power that's on the inside of you, and you activate it when you are spiritually minded. So it's so important that you realize, I know you know that you are a spirit, but you need to be spiritually minded. Now turn, if you would, to John chapter 8, verse 32. John 8, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. More people know more about the facts than they know about the truth. You need to know the truth. If you get a negative report from the doctor, do not, say do not, do not go to Mr. Google for the truth. You need to research the truth from the Word of God. Mr. Google is not your friend. Don't go to the library, don't go to the internet, but research the truth, amen, because it's the truth that sets you free. Now turn to Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word richly is so critical because it tells us what level we are to have the word of God living on the inside of us. You can have the word in you on a rich level, a medium level, or a low level. If the word is in you on a rich level, you're going to get rich level results. But if it's in you on a low level, you're going to get low level results. You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock before the storm. Not in the middle of the storm. So that's why you always need to be filling yourself up with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues all the time, and knowing what the Word of God says about healing, about faith, about being led by the Holy Spirit, because they all work together. You need to be strong in all three of those areas. Now, I've been to Africa on several occasions, and I've actually had to sleep in a tent in lion territory. But not my favorite hotel. But I've seen the lions when they attack their prey. Do you know what kind of prey they look for? Yes, a weak prey. Why is that? Because that lion knows it's very easy to devour a weak prey. Well, the devil goes around as a roaring lion, and he is looking for Christians who have the word in them on a low, weak level, because he knows it's easy to devour Christians who have the word in them on a low, low, weak level. So when the Lord says, let the word of Christ, or we could say it like this, let the word of truth dwell in you on a rich level, because there's an enemy out there that is going around 24/7 looking to kill, steal, and destroy. And the first thing he does is he steals. And the first thing he steals is the word. And if he can get the word from you, he's got your confidence, and then he can kill and destroy you so much easier. So you must have the word in you on a rich level at all times. Amen. And you know, there's no substitute for the word. There is no substitute for the word. Now look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. But the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, just as we have to worship the Lord in what? Spirit and in truth, we have to speak the word of God in spirit and in truth, because the word of God, Jesus says, my words are spirit. Now, in order for you to speak the word of God from your spirit, you have to put it into your spirit in a rich level. And when you've got the word in you on a rich level and you begin to speak the word of God from your spirit, God puts life on it. But you know, sometimes I think we're so flippant with the word. And sometimes I don't think we mean, well, I know we don't mean to do it, but I think sometimes we almost treat the word of God as though it were a magic potion. I'm healed. It is written. I'm healed, and it's just coming from here. Yep. It's not coming from here. You know, when you'll know it's coming from here, when you begin to see with the eye of faith that you know that you know that you know I is healed. And when you can see it first with the eye of faith, then you know that it's coming from your spirit. You are fully persuaded. You know that you know that you know. But you'll never get to that place until you get that word in you on a rich, rich level. None of us are perfect, are we? But we're growing all the time. But we do have that responsibility. Jesus says, don't let my words, don't let my report depart from your eyes. You know, sometimes we just go out around quoting the word of God all the time. But he said, don't let it depart from your eyes, because there's just something that happens when you look into this word. And he says, I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I will exalt the valleys. I will make the mountains low. I will make those crooked places straight. You are the apple of my eye. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. You need to know that like the back of your hand, so that it comes from here. Your name comes from here. It doesn't just come from here. You know what your name is. You need to know the word of God on a rich, 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 rich level, because all facts are subject to change with truth. Amen. So you must know truth, and truth has to dwell in you on that rich, rich, rich level. I'm going to ask my three helpers to come back. Hallelujah. Are you guys having fun? Aren't you glad I came?
Oh, yes.
There you go. What's your name?
Paul.
Lee. And Woody. I'm Marilyn. It's nice to meet you guys. Thank you for helping. Now, if you were to go to the doctor for a physical examination, which part is he going to examine? Yes. Not you. This is you, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to examine your house. Now, let's just imagine for a moment, he says, oh, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have diabetes. You have allergies. You have a kidney disorder. You have a bad heart. You have cancer. He says you. Is that you? No. But if you're not spiritually minded, you'll take ownership of that report. And you'll go around and start, oh, please pray for me, pray for me. I have. Mark 11:23, what does it say? You will have whatever you say. And so many times as believers, we snare ourselves with the words of our mouth. So you've got to know that is not you. He's just doing what he knows to do. He's just giving you the facts, but that's not you. You must be spiritually minded. So, for example, I live in San Diego, and once every 2 years, I have my house inspected for termites, and it's this house that we have inspected for termites. Now, let's just say the termite inspector comes to me and he says, Marilyn, Oh, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have termites. You have termites. Do you think I'm going to take that personally? No. If the doctor says, you have cancer, you have whatever, don't take it personally, because that is not you. It's only the house that you live in. Can you see the difference of being spiritually minded versus being carnally minded and always giving place to the facts? So that's why the word has to be in you on that rich level so that you don't take things personally. Does that help you? You know what I'm saying? So now we're going to role play. Time for promotion. I keep my word. I keep my word. I need one more gentleman to help me. Who wants to help me? You just nudged your husband. Get him up here. Get that man up here right now.
All right, Steve.
Steve, is it?
Skeet.
Skeet. Oh, that's a nice name, Skeet. I'm going to have you stand right here in front, being you got nudged, you know. Now, so we're going to role play, okay? So, you know, when you pray, so often our prayers go in one of two directions. We're either asking Jesus to do something he's told us to do, or we're asking Jesus to do something he's already done. Calvary was so well done in one act, it need never to be repeated. So we're going to have Skit, I'm going to let you be the pillar of the church. Awesome, huh? Outstanding. I'm going to let you be Jesus after the cross.
We better not take a vote on that one.
I'm going to let you be the Holy Ghost. You get to be God. Whoa. Just for a few moments, Pastor, just for a few moments. Your wife already knew that. Well, that's good. Yes, Lord. I will be the devil, because I don't like volunteers for that. So one day, the devil attacks our brother with sickness and disease. I'm really sick, very, very sick, and he turns to Jesus. And he begins to beg and plead. Gonna have to be very serious. Jesus, heal me, heal me, heal me.
Jesus, heal me.
But nothing happens except the devil keeps coming and he's getting worse and worse and worse. Pretty soon the whole church is praying, Jesus, heal him, heal him. What is he doing? He's asking Jesus to do something he has already done. It's already been checked off the list. Amen. So one day, the eyes of his understanding are enlightened, which is so valuable while you pray the prayers of the Apostle Paul, that he gives unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened to the hope of his calling, to the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. So one day he's reading and he understands his eyes have been enlightened to the gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 19, where the Lord says, Skeet, I have given you authority to trample on serpents, on scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, over every sickness, every disease, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Now, you have to be nice because I'm a visitor here. So he begins to take his authority over that infirmity. Yeah. Now, let me point something out. When he was praying to Jesus, he was still saved, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was still filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
But he was living a defeated life. Saved, filled, and defeated. Still having the Holy Ghost there the whole time. But when he begins to take his authority and he speaks to that infirmity, spirit of infirmity, I pull you down from your position of authority. I break the power of assignment you have against me, for it is written. I actually have that prayer in that little green packet. It's very powerful that you understand how to pray like that. And he begins to take his authority, and watch what happens to him when he does that. Holy Spirit, put both your hands on his shoulders. The Holy Spirit is his helper. Yeah. He's going to help him to not to get weary in well-doing. The Bible says, don't get weary, because the gospel, the Lord knew that you will get weary. So he says, don't get weary. And so he's given us a helper to build us up. And he prays in the Holy Ghost. And you need to pray in the Holy Ghost every day, in the shower, when you're walking around, when you're doing dishes, cleaning out the garage, driving to work. Get working with the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're tapping into the realm of the answer. You are tapping into the solution. The Spirit of Truth is going to guide you into all the truth. He can help you to see what you need to do, what's going on in your temple. The Holy Spirit will tell you that. And so he's going to build himself up, praying in the Holy Ghost so he doesn't get weary in well-doing. And look what else happens to Skeet. Jesus, you also put your hands on his shoulders. Both hands, Jesus. Wow, you feel that? Woo, glory. Energy. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for Skeet. Do you know, I think we forget that Jesus is praying for us every day. Is that not just awesome? Sometimes, I need to call somebody to have them pray for me. Do you know Jesus? I don't know what he's praying, but you can be sure he's got all the bases covered. Whatever we need. Now look what else happens to Skeet. God, you also put both your hands on his shoulders. Whew! The Bible says that God looks over the words that come from his spirit. Not just his mouth, but when they come from his spirit, because he's put them in there richly, God puts life on them. And where sickness and disease was once a fact, healing, the truth of healing and wholeness will be manifest. Now, a moment ago, you looked at Skeet. Saved, filled, and defeated. But you look at him now, and you see all of heaven is backing him up. Amen. And when the devil looks at him, the devil doesn't see flesh and blood. The devil sees a spirit, I'll let you hold that, a spirit of light, of force, of authority. He sees the whole armor of God, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. And when he resists the devil, it is not an option. The devil has no protection. And when he says, I resist you, and he speaks that from here, it is written, the devil shall flee. It is not an option. It is not an option. He shall flee. You see how powerful that is when you have that word in you on a rich, rich level? Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Does that help you tonight? You know, sometimes when we take our authority, you're not going to just do it one time. You're not going to take authority over the devil and he's not going to come up and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. Yeah. No, he's going to keep coming back and back and back and back. You know why? Because he's checking to see what level. What level? What level is the word in them? And you want to know that he is under your feet. A number of years ago, I was preaching in Spain. And I was with some missionaries there, and they had to leave the country to do something with their visas, with their passports, and they asked if I would go with them, and because they were in Spain, they were just going to go to Morocco, Africa. And I'd been there to Africa a number of times. They had not been, so I decided I would go with them. We took the boat to Morocco. We got off the boat and walked out to the terminal, and when we got outside the terminal, there were about five, as I recall, there were about five angry, mean-looking Muslims. And they said to us, and they came right up into our face, and they said, if you say one nice word about the Jews, we're going to kill you right here on the spot. So I told my friends, I just whispered to them, I said, go back into the terminal with me. I said, we need to take our passport and our money, put it inside our clothes, because we just had carry-on luggage. We had to go to Morocco and then to Casablanca. I said, we're just going to get our job done and we're getting out of Dodge. I said, we can't let them steal our passport or our money. They might take our carry-on, but so be it. So we walked back out there and there they were again, just threatening to kill us. We tried to get rid of them. We tried to ditch them. We were just totally unsuccessful. And they harassed us for at least 5 hours. And I told my friends, I said, don't look at them. Don't show fear, and don't say one word. Well, pretty soon, after about 5 hours, my friend's husband, he's losing it. He said, that's it. That is it. And I knew he's going to say something, and I turned to him and I whispered. I said, don't say it. Don't say it. I said, I'll take authority over this. I'll do it. And my girlfriend said, well, don't use the name of Jesus. I said, oh, I'm not going to use the name of Marilyn. So I looked at those Muslims and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you leave us alone now. Now, do you think they came up to me and said, oh, we are so sorry? No, no. They got super mad, really mad. And then two of them got right up to me. They're touching, their body is touching my body. And their face is right there and they're not saying very nice things to me. And I thought to myself, if you think that your God is bigger than mine, you're mistaken. And I thought to myself, if you're mad because I use the name of Jesus, you're really going to be mad now. You're really not going to like what I'm going to do now. If you didn't like the name of Jesus, I'm going to start singing. I'm going to worship, and I'm going to worship and thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus. You're really not going to like hearing about the blood. And because they were touching me, I had to squeeze to get my hand up like this because I'm going to worship. I'm not going to look at them. And I thought, I'm going to walk and I'm going to sing until that devil flees. And I don't care how long it takes. It's not an option. He has to go. And I walked about the distance of 3 city blocks. I just made up a song. Lord, I thank you for your blood. And I am just singing about the blood. And they are getting mad, and they're walking backwards and backwards and backwards. At the end of 3 city blocks, they all ran. They all fled, running across the street and jumping up and down because they just got defeated. So let me tell you something. When you resist sickness and disease, that symptom might come back the next day. Don't you dare give place to that. You say, no, you are under my feet and I resist you, and you just keep praising God because prayer and praise is the highest form of prayer that you can pray. You do not cast away your confidence because he might come back because he's going to check and see what level are they at? Are they at the level where I just can't get to them? And you be there. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We praise you, we glorify you, and I thank you, Lord, that your word never returns void. And I pray, Lord, that your word takes deep root into each and every heart tonight. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And if there's anybody here tonight, if you've got pain in your body or sickness, and you want me to pray with you, I'm going to invite you to come up here quickly. Anybody at all, you just come up here quickly. Hallelujah, because Jesus is the healer. And maybe you've been prayed for before, and you're thinking, well, I've already been prayed for. It's okay. You can come back up here because I'm just going to reinforce what's already been prayed. Amen? Now, remember, I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. The moment I lay hands on you, you receive. And from this moment on, we give him praise. Amen? We give him praise. I don't care what happens in 10 minutes later, tonight or tomorrow, we give him praise. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to focus on Jesus. You can keep your eyes closed, but focus on the healer, not me. I'm just the vessel.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for manifesting yourself. Thank you, Lord. One more time. Will you remind us what to do? You said it right before you prayed for everyone. What do they need to do now? We're not asking, what do we need to do?
Just giving praise and thanksgiving that it's already done. You'll resist the devil. If he comes back to you, you say, no, you are under my feet. Amen. So stay rich in the word. Amen.
Amen.
So praise him and thank him for the work that's already done.
I'm telling you, I want to just run around the room. When you're sharing that tonight, I about come unglued. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to be dignified. But I'm telling you, you are smash mouth, kick the devil in the face, exactly what the kingdom needs to hear right now. Now do you know why I fell in love with this woman? The word works. And I thank you so much, Dr. Neubauer, for the way you put that tonight in such a simple manner for us to understand, especially with confession, something that's been very difficult for many people, and people have gone both ways on both extremes with it, and you shoot straight down the center, and it's so effective, and I just praise God for your ministry.